To welcome everyone to the first day of the rest of your life. I'm not sure if you checked your calendar, but that is what today is. Within the next 60 minutes, hopefully we'll provide you with some information that you can take, and it will be impactful and also educational at the same time that you can apply it to your own health to make you a better version of yourselves. The way I would like to start off today's call is I would like everybody to sit for a second and think. Think about themselves, think about your bodies, and think about one thing you are proud of with your current level of fitness or your current level of health. One thing that you are proud of. Once you have that one thing, does not have to be your number one thing, but it's one thing you're proud of, please type it in the chat box. One thing you are proud of. Coaches as well. Everyone on here, coaches, staff, everyone. One thing in the chat box. You are proud of. Andrew is our first one on here with his grip strength. Coach Steve with his mobility. Eric with his cardio endurance. I will also assist here. Work ethic and effort. Hey, Ben, very similar. Mobility, back strength. Cardio. Matt's discipline. Ooh, I like that. I like that. A disciplined person goes far in life. Consistency over the year, over the years for Spence. Yeah, I would say that little discipline there too. These are all really good ones, but I'm going to pick on a couple people specifically as it pertains to today's conversation. So I'm going to start with Eric. Eric, you mentioned your cardio endurance. Would you be okay unmuting yourself and elaborating a little bit on your cardio endurance?
Sure, man. I feel like I can run for a really long time. I've been running for a couple of years, and yeah, I can make it happen. I enjoy cardio, which is kind of a weird thing to say, because I never thought I would. But yeah, I'm active. I walk a lot. I run. I do HIIT training and VO2 training, and I see the benefits, and I feel good.
Very interesting. As today's topic is going to be all on cardio. So you come into one camp that is different than most people. You seem to enjoy doing cardio. Hey, that's good to know. Richard Davies, you also mentioned cardio. Would you mind elaborating on what you're proud of with your cardio?
I've just come a long way. When I first started, it was very low. I'd be huffing and puffing and breathing through my mouth. And now, like yesterday morning, I did 75 minutes on the treadmill, started at 7% incline and kept going up every half every 5 minutes. I was going up a 0.5%. So when I finished it, my 75 minutes, I was up to 14% at 3 miles an hour. And I'm going to work to get it to the point, like I told Andrew this morning, to where I can do the whole 75 minutes at 15% at 3 miles an hour, and then start building up the speed on the miles per hour. I'm just feeling really good overall. I know it has really helped me in my weight loss and the overall picture of my health. So it's really been good.
That's awesome to hear, especially the contrast of the two of you. I think it's safe to say that Eric has been doing cardio for a longer period of time. He enjoys it. He does it in a lot of varieties. And Richard, a little bit more on the newer side, doing things a bit different and started quite challenging, and it's getting a little easier, but you're always looking to get a little bit better. Safe to say that's correct for everyone, right? Excellent. Now let's talk a little bit more about the cardio. Whoever's hosting, can you allow me to share my screen, please? Okay. So for many of you on the call here, you might know who I am. Some of you might not. So I'll do a quick little intro of who I am, where I come from, and my background. So my background is from an athlete's perspective. I compete in powerlifting. That's what I've done in the last decade. In powerlifting, we exercise in front of people for one rep. So it's kind of one end of the spectrum when we talk to cardiovascular exercise. So I've been on one end of the spectrum when it comes to cardio. Lift it up once, put it back down, walk away, sit for 5 minutes, have a chat, come out and do it again. That's one area where my expertise are, lifting heavy. The other one is a coach, as a lot of you know, because half people on here that I coach as well. I'm also an educator within fitness for different organizations, including this one presentation here that you're going to get. And I'm also a father too. So when I speak, these are my domains when it comes from. However, I'm going to step outside of my domain and educate everyone a little bit more when it comes to cardiovascular. So what I would like to do now when we talk about cardiovascular is I want people to think about where their health is right now and where do they want their health to be in the future. You know, when we are at the decades of 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100, and what would that look like? Yesterday, I celebrated my birthday. I hit 39 years. This is a PR for me. I now have to start thinking about what's it going to look like over the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, hopefully 50 years, hopefully 60 years. I think these are good things for us as men, as people in general, to start thinking long term with our health. Some of you are in here, you're within your first 30 days. Some of you have been here a couple of years now, and you see that how health can carry you in so many different aspects. So what I did was I looked at where do we start to decline in our health as we age, and these are the three number one areas. We tend to go down every decade with our cardiorespiratory fitness, with our muscle mass, and with our strength. These are things that tend to happen after the ages of 30, okay, give or take. Some people it's 40. Depending on your lifestyle, your genetic makeup, it could be even before your 30s. I've got friends in college, and I remember they started looking bad at the end of 4 years compared to the first 4 years, and so forth. So these are areas that tend to decline as we age. I'll just open up the floor here to anyone who might think why these things would happen. Why do you think your cardiorespiratory system would decline as you age? No wrong answers.
I think your body just gets inefficient, a little bit more inefficient over time.
Can you elaborate on that? What do you mean by more inefficient?
I just can't do, the processes aren't as streamlined as they were when we were younger, right? Like your mitochondria don't perform quite as well, and everything kind of starts to decline slightly.
Okay. So get a little bit of rust in the pipes and things just don't function the way they used to. Yeah. Okay. Not bad.
But I think it can be, it's not set in stone.
Someone else like to chime in?
Sure. I
Your
think there's
lifestyle changes.
Eric, go ahead.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think there's less cultural opportunities as you age. I mean, when you're a little kid, you run everywhere and there's gym class and you're throwing shit and you're jumping around. As an adult, it's less socially acceptable to run around the grocery store or run to my car in the parking lot.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, about 20 years ago, I had the cheapest car on the road. It was a bicycle. And for me to get from point A to point B, I had to put a little bit of effort into it. I did hear someone else chime in. They said the L word. Who was that? I can't see anyone on this when my screen's up this way. Someone said lifestyle.
Yeah, I said love, sir.
Yes,
It's
can
Josh.
you? Oh, Josh. Hey, Josh, can you elaborate a little bit?
Similar to what the previous member said, it was just you get busy, you work, you have different priorities, and you make less time.
I agree with that 100%. 100%. I've been training people and getting paid for it since 2003. There's a difference between training people and getting paid for it, just so you know. So I'm getting paid for it since 2003. And one of the observations that I made over time is that people's lifestyles change so much more where they're not as active as they used to be. So if you're on this call right now, you might fall into this category here. Maybe in your 20s, you played recreational sports, or maybe you played varsity sports at college, university, right? You played men's league something. What happens as that decade goes on? Well, maybe you meet a partner, you settle down, all your free time is now spent towards them, or your free time is now spent towards your career. You're advancing your career. You're working overtime, working double time. You might be getting more education. Those recreational sports tend to be a little bit less. Maybe you have a family. All your free time is now going to be with your children. Couple more years go by. Couple more years go by. Next thing you know it, you've got teenagers and you haven't seen the inside of a gym since college. Your lifestyle has now aged you and your body has declined. And then all of a sudden you wake up one day, you don't recognize who you are in the mirror. You get to the top flight of stairs and you're a bit out of breath. That's lifestyle. The good news is we're all in control of it by doing different things. Now, what I like to do is I try to say, what's the next 25 years going to look like for me? And then what's the 25 years after that going to look like for me? So I kind of mapped out things I want to be able to do. So again, with my birthday being yesterday, it was easy for me to sit down and have a look and say, what do I want to be able to do? Well, one thing I currently do is I play men's league basketball 2 times a week. And I want to still be able to do that 25 years from now. What I would also like to be able to do is play whatever sport my sons play, my 2 boys. Doesn't mean I have to be good. I just have to be a little bit better than them. Or I have to be able to at least participate. So whatever they do, I want to be able to do as well. I also want to be able to continue to do powerlifting and CrossFit. I do CrossFit as well, a little bit of that, and I enjoy it. Then the 25 years after that, that's 65 to 90. I want to be able to travel without assistance. For anyone here who's done some traveling before, you may have observed other people. I do this all the time. I'm a people watcher. Where's my people watchers in the crowd right now? You like to observe other people. So I'm always watching other people. When I go on trips and stuff, I'm at the airport, I do the quick scan. Oh, a walker. Oh, a cane. Oh, got a brace over there. Oh, you need that person to carry your suitcase to get on. Oh, you got to pay for that extra seat, that special seat. Oh, you got to pay the extra fee for that excursion. Oh, you can't actually go on that excursion. Oh, you got to get that special room with the higher toilets. And all of a sudden, I started realizing these people have to pay for all these additional assistances because of their health. I don't want that. So if I want to be able to go on a trip and get on a catamaran myself, then I need to have a certain level of fitness and health. I want to be able to get off the ground without any support or minimal support, maybe one hand only. I want to be able to take care of my grandchildren if my kids have kids. And by taking care, that doesn't mean we're all in the room together and I'm just watching them. I've seen this live before where a little person gets out of the house and they take off down the road and the grandparent pursued it and could not catch them. And I saw it live, and I saw the look of fear in the grandparents' eyes and the look of embarrassment at the same time. And I said, ooh, I don't want that to ever happen to me. I want to make sure that if I'm in that situation when I'm older, I can catch that tiny person. So for me, these are my things that I want to be able to do in the next 25 years and then the 25 years after that. We are going to do a little activity now. What I would like everyone here to do, stop sharing my screen. Am I sharing my screen right now? Okay, I don't know how to stop sharing the screen. Anyway, what I would like everyone to do now is the exact same thing. So if you got a pen and paper around you, I want you to write down something you would like to be able to do in the next 25 years. And if you have another 25 years after that, I want you to think of something else you would like to do. Let's just fast forward the remainder of our lives and write down a couple of things you want to be able to do. Well, some of you are writing that down now. What I'll do is I'll ask on some of the coaches, because I'm sure we've all thought of this before. If you have an idea of what you would like to be able to do within the next 25 years.
Chris, I'll go, buddy. I'm very much like you, man. I've always just put a lot of thought into terms of actually the continue, like, we know, weightlifting, bodybuilding. I was actually just at the gym the other day and I saw a guy that was younger than me, like he probably about 10 years younger, and he couldn't even get a bar on his back. And so he had to like put some, I'm not sure if you can see me,
I
but
can now.
the strap trick where you strap the bar. And I was like, this guy is 25. That's all I could think. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's incredible because that's obviously a different can of worms, but it's just like shock. And so when it comes down to longevity, yeah, like if you don't use it, you lose it, right? And so kids are ever present. Keep up with them and continue lifting, but also just to be able to not be in pain. I think it's one of those things where you dismiss when you're going down the stairs that your knees don't hurt, right? But that some people genuinely, maybe even on this call, they actually just, they walk sideways on the stairs because their knees hurt. And they don't realize that's not the way it has to be. And so just that general well-being, just maintaining that.
Well, that's good, man. So if you and I ever go on a catamaran in 40 years from now, you know, I'll be making sure, I'll be getting up early in the morning and being like, is Steve going down the stairs sideways or is he able to go down straight down? And what was a really interesting thing was, Steve, you mentioned that one of the things you're proud of is your mobility.
Yeah.
And it's safe to say that when you lose your mobility, you lose your independence. You lose your ability to do a lot of these things. So for everyone on the call right now, when you get your program, when you get your Monday, you get your Tuesday, and in that warm up, there's a series of mobility drills written out by your coach for you. We're not writing them in just to have them in. There's always going to be a purpose. And you might want to start thinking that we're thinking a little more long term for you. Would someone like to unmute themselves and talk about something they would like to be able to do over the next 25 years?
I mean, I can talk about mine, but mine's pretty similar to what you have right here. Instead of like basketball, it'd be like ice hockey or softball. Be working out, you know, having the beach body, I guess you could say, and then playing sports with my kids and grandkids. And 25 years later, it would be like I travel a lot for work. And if I ever make a flight to like Orlando or like Phoenix, for that matter, like, I swear to God, like half the plane is in a wheelchair and needs assistance to get on the plane. And, you know, it's half full before, you know, anyone else gets on the plane. So that kind of, that made it, that point kind of resonated with me. But, like all the, like once I'm 65, travel, being able to move, not having issues, like, you know, probably won't go as hard working out wise, but at least I'll be able to function and not need a cane or anything.
I think those are really good, important points that you want to be able to do. And I think we all kind of fall into a similar situation. So what you can do with that information now is, and this is something that I want everyone to take serious here, because now we all have in our heads, what do we want to do in the next 25 years, next 50 years? Now start thinking, what do you need to be doing now to be able to do that? So let me just reshare my screen. Okay, so we can all see that. Thumbs up if you can see it. Good. So what do I need to be able to do? Well, for the next 25 years, if I want to do those activities there, I need to have a high VO2 max. To be able to play basketball, a full game, I got to have some cardio. That's a no-brainer. Whatever sport I want to be able to do with my sons, that's simple. I just need to participate. I need to be practicing with them. If I want to do powerlifting and CrossFit, I need to be in the gym 4 times a week. If I want to be able to travel, I need strength with my body. If I want to be able to get off the ground, I need some strength as well. If I want to take care of my grandkids, again, I need that VO2. I need a good cardiovascular base. I need to be able to do movements like a goblet squat with a certain amount of weight. So it's really easy that you can take this information and kind of say, okay, if I want to be able to do this, this is what I probably should be able to do now. And if you're not sure, that's where we come into play. So, gentlemen there, you were talking about, you want to play softball. You want to play ice hockey. Okay. So ice hockey requires a high VO2 max to do interval based work because your shifts are going to be 45 seconds and 90 seconds, depending on how many guys you got on your team that day. Right. So knowing that, we would put in your training programs things to support that same energy system at the same time. If you want to be able to travel, and you say, okay, every time I travel, I have a carry-on and it's 40 pounds. And if I want to be able to sling that thing around with one arm, no problem. Hey, we're doing a lot of single arm pressing in the gym. We're going to be using those exercises to enhance what you want to eventually be able to do. If you can overhead press your body weight with two hands, A 40 pound with one hand, probably not that challenging. So we as coaches can take those long-term goals you have and break them down. But this is a presentation more on cardio. So I'm going to talk about where the cardio comes into play. Well, cardio declines. After the age of 25 to 30, it starts to decline from individuals. And like we talked about with Spence there, how the pipes get a little bit rusty. Everything becomes a little less efficient unless you train it. The body is very adaptive and pliable to the stresses you put on it. If you want to have better cardiovascular work or efficiency, you have to stress your cardiovascular system. Right now, all of us are at baseline. We're chilling, we're resting. Our heart rates are probably around anywhere from 50 to 65 beats per minute. Our hearts are doing as minimal as possible just to maintain where we are now. If we don't go above this position here, our cardio system has no reason to get better. It's going to stay where we are. So if lifestyle has me sitting more than normal, walking less, not doing cardiovascular work, it is not going to progress. It will regress, and it will actually decline 5 to 10% per decade. But what if there was a way around that? Because we want to prevent CVD, cardiovascular disease. So unfortunately, CVD tends to happen and is the number one reason why we die as a species. The number one reason. More people die of CVD than cancer. More people die of CVD than other types of diseases, than COVID. Okay, and it's going to come into any one of these forms here, right? Atherosclerosis, CAD, congestive heart failure, heart valve disease, cardiomyopathy, heart arrhythmia. These are just little things that start to happen, you know, when you get your annual checkup and you're 40 and they're like, oh, your heart rate's a little bit, you know, you're having some arrhythmia, some beat issues there. Or you're like, you know what, let me just get a little stenosis here. No problem. Take this med. We're not big believers in saying just throw meds at the problem. You can actually exercise and train to help minimize or reduce any of these. How do we do that? We got to have a strong VO2 max. That is the most important metric that will prevent and reduce cardiovascular disease. The stronger your VO2 max, the more robust you will be. Now, the hard thing here to do is say, okay, how do we increase a VO2 max? What is a VO2 max? Well, essentially, it's your body's ability to utilize oxygen. And how much oxygen can you use to then support the rest of your system when it comes to movement? How much volume of oxygen can come into the body, maximal amount, to be dispensed throughout your muscles and all your tissues so they can support what you're doing? Or the maximal amount. So when we take in oxygen, our lungs absorb, and then all of a sudden that's turned into our energy. For anyone who is low in energy, it's very rare they're high in VO2 max. It's very normal to be low in energy and have a low VO2 max. So if anyone's on this call right now and they say, you know what I would like to get one day? I just want a little bit more energy. What if we tested where our VO2 maxes were? And then there was a way to determine how to increase them that will give us more energy. Does that seem like a good idea? That's a great idea, Chris. Thanks, guys. So what could we do? Well, simply just bringing your VO2 max up can increase your chance of survival or reducing your chance of getting CVD significantly, as the stat here shows. And this stat here is from a Harvard study, I believe. But what we want to do is we want to look at our VO2 max charts, see where we all align in this one here. So does anyone know how to test for a VO2 max? Coaches, you can't answer. People on the call here, if you heard of different ways to test for a VO2 max. Anyone? I don't know if you guys are typing in the chat. I can't see the chat. Oh, max 2,000 meter row. That's a good one. Yeah.
1.5 mile run.
Running? Yeah, because you like to run, so that works. Who was I talking to earlier here? Richard, what do you like to do for cardio? Richard Davies, what do you like to do for cardio?
Yep. I do all kind of things. I do bike, I do treadmill, I do walk. I do a lot of different type of things. It's not just one particular thing. I like to mix it up so that I can get all aspects.
Perfect. Okay. So you like to use a variety of it. Okay. Eric has a background in some running, so it might make more sense for Eric to do a run. So there's a lot of things you can do, but essentially this chart here, these charts we have for men and women review 2 max is they put you in these categories. And once you identify what category you're in with a score, I think for all of us here, our objective should be to increase it. Who here likes being very poor? Not me. Who here wants to be below average? Not me. Fun fact for you, I'm 5'8", and someone once called me short. I played basketball in university, and they called me short. And I brought up the observation that 5'8" is actually average height for men. And someone corrected me and said, no, that's for women. He was a real jerk. Anyway, I don't want to be below average. Some things I'm in control of. Height is not one of them. So what can we do? Well, we can test it. There's a lot of ways you can test your VO2 max. And this is kind of a standard way of testing VO2 max at the university setting. You can do a VO2 max test. You can hook yourself up to one of these machines. But most of us don't have access to this. So what could we do? Well, there's other variations. So I'm going to go from the easiest way you can do this to a little bit more challenging. And you're going to get different scores. Here's one everyone can do. This is called your non-exercise test. Just one sec. Let me get out of here. Your non-exercise test. So all you need is this information on the left, your age, your gender, your weight, your height, your max heart rate, your resting heart rate, your exercise frequency and intensity. How many times a week do you train? And it'll say, how hard do you go? And your waist circumference. So if you take all this information and you enter it into a website that I'm going to show you, it will give you your score of your VO2 max. Now it's an estimate. It's not super accurate, but it's a pretty good start. So I did this, and I did this before I turned 39. So it said I'm 38 years old. My expected fitness level is 49 VO2 max. Okay, not bad. That's just based on my activity level, my height, my gender, my weight, my waist circumference. However, I have the fitness of a under 20-year-old. Look at that. With a 63 VO2 max, I feel pretty darn good about myself. And I didn't even have to break a sweat. How accurate is that? Well, it's not super accurate, but it definitely gives me a place to start if I don't have any other options. So if I look at 63 for a VO2 max, and I go back to our charts here, for my age being, I'd be in the 36 to 45 category. On the left side, I am male, in case some of you are not 100% sure. So that puts me in a rating of excellent. I'm very good. Awesome. With no exercise. What if I really want to test it, though? Well, here's another one we can do. You can do the Rockport 1 mile walk test. So let's say, for example, you've been in the fitness game long time and maybe your joints don't like running anymore, or you haven't been in that long and your joints don't like to run. You just do a walk test. You need your age, your gender, your weight, your ending heart rate after you've walked 1 mile and how long it took you. You can do this on a treadmill. You can map out the distance. You just go as fast as you can without running, get your time, and your heart rate, put in this little calculator, boom, it gives you a VO2 max score as well. Another option for you, as mentioned before, the 2000 meter row test. I like this one here if you've been into fitness for a while, because what the row test really shows you is when you start to hit fatigue hard and what kind of grit you have. When fatigue hits hard on the rower, I've had times before where my obliques start to hurt, right? Your legs are on fire and you're yanking and you're pulling, then all of a sudden your core gets on fire and you can slow down or you can keep pushing. It can build a lot of grit if you can just tolerate pain. In the beginning, it'll be very uncomfortable, but over time you get pretty good at it. All you need is you need a rower, concept 2 rower, your body weight, your gender, your experience level. So it'll ask you, are you experienced in rowing or are you not experienced? You put that in, and then your time. And it gives you a calculated VO2 max. So mine was 48.92. So if I don't exercise, just based on my smaller waist and my body weight, it says my VO2 is quite high at 63. But when they actually test me on the rower, it's 48.92. So I'm not excellent. I'm just below excellent. I don't like that test as much as I like the non-exercise one. But what if there was another test we could use? So, oh, here's another one here. So, Eric, you talked about doing a run. I really like this test here for people who like to run. It makes so much more sense. So, for this one here, you can actually pick your own distance you want to run and then run it as fast as you can. So, I took a 3 mile.
Hey Chris, interrupt your flow on the rower? What level do you have put it on? Just the lowest level, or?
No, the damper on the rower, I believe, is 6 or 7, 6 or 7. But what I would suggest you do, if you ever do the row test, put on 6 or 7. And if you do it on 1 or 2 the next time, your time will be way longer. And if you put it at 10, your time will also be way longer. So the damper would be 6 or 7 for that. As for the run test here, this is cool. If you are like, hey, I like doing, I've done 10Ks, I've done half marathons. You can do a long run, put in that distance and your best time, and then get a score. You can do a short run and so forth. This gives you a little bit more variability here. So I did a 3 miler, and I got a score, and that made a little bit more sense to me as well. So you might want to screenshot this right now if anybody here is interested in doing any of these tests and where to get the information. And let your coach know if you want to try some of these things out. Because once you get this information, we can put together protocols to increase your VO2 max. Now I'll open the floor up here to coaches if they're aware of any other tests that they might have used before for themselves or for any of their clients for VO2 max testing. These aren't the only ones out there. Steve, have you used any other variation or Johnny or Andrew with anyone?
I was just going to say you hit the ones that I normally do, Chris.
Yeah, no other variations for me.
Okay. There is also known as a step test. There's a step test, which is a really good one people can do. So let's say, for example, you're not the person to do the running. You don't have access to a rower, but you've got risers. The step test protocol is the knee has to be at 90 degrees when it makes contact on the riser top. So the height is determined by the individual. I love tests that are personalized because if I'm going to do a test, a step test, and Andrew, who's 6'19", is going to do a step test, right? It's not fair if we're on the same one. I like to keep them very, very specific. But if we're both going to be on a rower, it's going to be a little bit different based on lengths. So the step test is one that you can do as well. The beep test, we all remember that. Hey, back in high school, that run, beep, beep. That's also a good one to give you a score. The takeaway from this is with these different scores, whatever test you want to use it again to see if you've improved. So now let's take a look at ways that we possibly could improve. Do, 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 do. What I would like to do though is I would like to ask upon my fellow coaches here of some things you may have already used with yourself or with your clients to improve their cardio or a VO2 max specific. And clients, you can rat out your coach. You can say, that son of a bee always gives me just this.
Chris, can you help me with a little bit more specificity? You mean like in terms of modalities, or do you mean like things we've written in the program?
Both. Like
Okay.
what machines you like to use, and then is there a protocol you're like, hey, I've seen this work really well with my guys.
Yeah. So one of the things that I find is like not only does it help, but it just is one of those things that I find because guys tend to in the beginning be a little bit more reserved towards cardio, right? Is that like writing it into the program is just hugely beneficial in terms of like making sure that obviously like zone two is going to really be, it's going to be like this underlying benefit that's going to help anyways. So if we can conquer that, and then at the same time, if we can make sure that like everything else is kind of like, again, like the sleep and just like the rest times and the workouts and all this kind of stuff being worked at, then we can start getting that edge. Because I find that with VO2 testing and programming, it can be a little bit tough for people to lean into it at first because it feels crappy and doesn't feel nice. So in terms of that, thinking like, hey, let's just like work it up, slowly increase our ability to actually feel that heart rate and then increase the time in set so you can actually get a proper output in these intervals, right? So I found that to be beneficial. But then on top of that too, like you mentioned with the rower test, like there's a significant amount of skill needed to row properly. And I've had some people where like they'll get on a rower, and I know these I have a client right now. I work with her, been working there for 5 years, and she has strong, she's a 65-year-old lady, and she can squat one, she can front squat 140, and she's only 5 foot nothing. So she has strong legs. She gets on the rower and she can't push it, because the second she tries, she's like, ugh! She tries to pull it with her arms. I'm like, stop using your arms.
You mentioned she's 5 foot nothing.
5 foot nothing.
That'll do it.
Yeah. It's like, that's it, right? And she just tries to like just pull her arms. And so for her, it's like, yeah, this, she's not going to have a very good, right? And so it's just like, yeah, I find that to be the biggest thing you're trying to almost like tackle is like, how do you get this to be effective for the person? And then Eric mentioned earlier that he finds that like he's unstoppable when he's running, right? And so Eric, like, how'd you feel when you did the 2000 meter row versus how you'd exert yourself when you're running?
Different.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just because the intention is to hit maximum effort. When I'm running, I very rarely go to 100%.
Do you, would you like, and like, yeah, let me know how your, what your thoughts on this. Can you run that hard? Is it something that you'd be even able to without running into some problems? Like, no pun intended, but like, not enough space, not enough room.
Yeah. That's a great question. Probably not. And I think it comes down to the muscles that you're using when you're rowing. You're using everything when you row. You're using it's upper body, it's lower body, and it's just when you're running, it's mostly it's legs. And then I'm going to be limited by my form. I'm going to be limited by am I going uphill, downhill? I mean, I don't have an opportunity to run on a track, so very rarely am I running on something with zero grade, right? So all of that matters. So I really have to think really hard on form to be able to get close to the 100% output when I'm running.
The good news is, though, I'll just intersect here. The good news is, whatever you decide to use, you can get a score. And then you can put a training protocol in place for that same modality of cardiovascular fitness, and then you can retest. So if we know, Eric, you like to run 5 mile runs. I would say, Eric, this weekend, I want you to run a 5 mile as fast as you can. Right? Now, you're not going to sprint at the start, but you probably have an idea in your head. Okay, I can do 5 miles in about this time. So I'm going to try to beat that time. When you get done doing it, I'm going to ask you, was that as fast as you could go? And you'll probably be like, you know what? On that day, that was as fast as I could go. Great. We're going to take that number. We're going to put it in the calculator. We're going to get a score. Awesome. I'm now going to put in some running intervals. You're going to do a 3 mile on Monday. You're going to do a 5 mile medium pace on Wednesday. You're going to do a 7 mile on Friday. You're going to do recovery 2 mile on Sunday, something like that. We're going to run that for 4 weeks. Then we're going to retest again. Right? So the parameters end up being the exact same. I can give you that protocol. The key takeaway I want everyone to get from this is if we really want to be healthy in 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, 50 years, the number one thing we're fighting is CVD. And how do we fight it? By having a strong and a high VO2 max. Now, Steve's VO2 max could be 60 and mine could be 30, but he could hit by a bus tomorrow. I'm still winning, right? So the VO2 max is only going to prevent chance of these other things happening long term. Wherever you start, we just want to get it better by 1 point. So that's the key kind of takeaway when I talk about this cardiovascular stuff. Let's find something everybody here can do. Let's test it. And then let's put a protocol in as coaches, retest it, and see if it gets better. So, like Steve mentioned before, the rower was not a great one for that one client, right? This is where we'd find something different. That's where the beep test, the step test, the Rockport walk test, anything that really pushes your heart rate up, there's a lot of variation out there that you can use. So thank you, Steve, for sharing that and Eric for chiming in as well. Johnny or Andrew, would you like to say anything or contribute?
Oh, I just realized I was unmuted for a while there. Luckily, I didn't do anything stupid. Yeah, I kind of going off what Steve said, and again, what you just said, Chris, is just finding what especially a client likes, because consistency beats perfection every time. There are technically the best progression of methodologies to improve the VO2 max, but if a client doesn't like doing it, they're not going to do it, at least consistently. So whatever the client likes, I will try to incorporate that as often as possible. Personally, I'm a big fan of incline intervals on the treadmill. So just to hike, getting big full steps, pulling with those hamstrings and glutes. obviously not holding on to the handles, because that just, otherwise that just negates your whole point of the incline. So that steep incline, I always say, imagine like you're lunging up a mountain, really pulling with those heels, almost like the treadmill isn't doing the work. You are pulling the treadmill with your feet. So active engagement, and just not necessarily changing the incline if you want, but sometimes we change the incline and the speed and we drop down for a few minutes and we come back up for 30 seconds to a minute and make it more intense. But I, you know, some people just, you know, some people shouldn't be running. So, you know, we're not going to put that in. Some people feel lazy if they're walking. So sometimes those incline intervals, like they're hiking, people find huge benefit in that. And it tends to not bother people's knees too much if they have any sort of knee issue. So I find it's a great intervention. Yeah.
I love the incline walk. It's very deceiving. If you've never done it before, like you don't need to go fast. You just need to get that sucker incline 10, incline 15 degrees. You don't need to go fast. After about 5 minutes, it's hard to have a conversation with someone. Doesn't take much. And that's just because, as I mentioned at the start of this presentation, if you never increase the stimulus on your cardiorespiratory system, it has no reason to adapt and get better. When any of us approach a flight of stairs, what do? We take them. That's this group. We don't take an elevator when there's one flight of stairs. We don't take an elevator when there's two flights of stairs. Some of us probably take an elevator when there's three. Or
Chris, I used to train at a gym in Utah. And I used to, so it was one of those gyms, two levels, a big staircase, you know, going up, and the cardio equipment was on top. But you could see up there. It was kind of, you know, one of those upper level, what are they called, loft type things. I used to watch people get in the elevator, go upstairs, and do the stair climber. So sometimes we just need to remember there are things around us. That sounds ridiculous, but I saw it every day I was training clients there. It was amazing.
That's wild.
I always wanted to approach someone and ask what they were thinking, but I tried just to mind my own business.
The way I look at it is, because the average person, we're not taking a lot of stairs, when you get on that stepper, the Stairmaster, which I've yet to actually meet a real Stairmaster. It crushes everyone. Or the incline walk, it's hard. After that 5 minutes, it's like you've just done at least 3 or 4 flights of stairs. So you don't have to go fast. But that is a really good alternative to doing some cardio that might bang up the body. The rower might bang up your low back, right? Running might bang up your knees if you're not, you know, you don't have good mechanics of running or body weight to support that. So the incline walk is an awesome, awesome protocol or variation cardio that you can use. I'm just going to go back to my presentation here and just go over what the research shows we all should be doing more regularly. I need to get everyone's face out of the way. There we go. So when we look at what the research suggests we need to be doing, is we just need to increase our baseline doing zone 2 cardio. Zone 2 cardio is your heart rate around 65 to 74% of your max heart rate. So then the next question is, how do we determine our maximum heart rate? Well, it's very simple. So what can we do? Well, first we can find our max heart rate by doing this very simple calculation. This is a variation here. You take 220, you minus your age. So right now where everyone is, take that 220 minus your age. A little math here. Write that down. 220 minus your age. That is your estimated max heart rate. So that's got me at 181, right? I'm 39 now, so my max heart rate is about 181. Now, if I want to do zone 2 cardio, and I want to be between 65 and 75% of my max heart rate, I just take that number, 181, multiply by 0.65, take 181, multiply by 0.75, and I need to get my heart rate within that range. Once I get my heart rate within that range, that's when my cardio session starts. Now, the key thing is finding something you can use to get within that range. For some of us like Eric, this might be running. For Richard Davies, he likes everything, so anything. But Richard, you might say, when I get on the recumbent bike, I got to really jack up that resistance to get my heart rate up because it's quite easy for me. But possibly an incline level 15 walk, could be very challenging, which means you go very slow and you can hit that heart rate really easy. For a lot of us here on the rower, we're probably going to exceed zone two cardio percentages because the rower comes with a heavy amount of resistance. At the gym that I work at live one-on-one, we have weighted sleds. I'll use protocols. We'll have clients pull and push it back and forth for 10 minutes. They are going beyond zone two cardio because you're using resistance plus cardio. It's going to challenge you a lot more. Once you can find the cardio equipment that works best for you, here's a program or an example of how you could increase your VO2 max in just 4 weeks. What you want to do is you want to be doing at least 3 times a week, low end, 20 minutes, high end, 40 minutes, between those ranges of 65 to 75% of your maximum heart rate, or until cardiac drift occurs. What cardiac drift means is, let's say you're doing the incline walk, you're at incline 15, speed 2 miles an hour, and your heart rate's at 65% for the first 5 minutes. And then at 10 minutes, it gets to 75%. And you got to hit 20 minutes here. Well, then all of a sudden, it hits like 85% on minute 12. You've now drifted outside that zone and gone beyond. So if you can't maintain that cardio, that fitness, and it's getting too hard for you, you just reduce the intensity, drop the incline, drop the speed. You can stay within that zone. What could also happen, though, is you could go into zone three, and that's not the end of the world either. It's just going to be a little bit more uncomfortable for you. So as a coach, if I were to say to everyone here, the protocol is to do a minimum 20 minutes up to 40 minutes within zone two, I'll add this caveat, or above. I'm okay with anyone going into zone three or zone four, you know, in those last 5 or 10 minutes. We just don't go below that. What you would do in the following week is you have to increase something. So I increased the duration, 30 to 60 minutes instead of 20 to 40. Week three, I kept the duration 30 to 40 minutes, but I've increased the frequency by 1 time a week. Now it's 4 times a week. And then week four, the frequency was the same, but the duration was a little bit longer. Very simple. You can screenshot this, or you can ask your coach if they could put something into practice for you in the upcoming weeks. Let me just bounce out of here. So to recap some of this stuff here, these are the key takeaways I hope everyone gets. VO2 max is a very important metric to determine your current level of cardiovascular fitness. Low scores of VO2 max are correlated with high incidences of cardiovascular disease. The higher VO2 max is, the lower your chance of developing CVD, the more energy you have, and the better the next 25 to 50 years of your life become, as you see that a high VO2 max is necessary to do most things we want to do today, tomorrow, and the day after that. Identifying where your score is, and then figuring out a protocol or a machine of choice that you enjoy, that you can get into these heart rate zones to push yourself, to apply that stimulus, will lead to increasing your VO2 max. CRISPR's heart. Okay, thank you. Yes, I did. So that's kind of like the key takeaways from this presentation here. For the last 10 minutes, we can now address some of these questions. So Sunhill said, can it be done in a fasted state first thing in the morning? I'm thinking how to fit it in, given that I train weights in the evening after work. It can be done on a fasted state if you're going with a zone two cardio, because you shouldn't require a lot of stored energy to be getting into the higher amounts. So you should be fine with zone two. If you're going to get up in the morning and you do like zone four, you might gas out just sooner. That's all. So yeah, it'd totally be fine there. If you try it and then all of a sudden you're lightheaded and you're dizzy and stuff, talk to your coach. He probably just put a little modification in there.
So Chris, I got a question. So with, there's a lot of conflicting information out there about fitness, right? Particularly about cardio and weightlifting, and should you mix the two and whatnot. So you're well aware, since you're my coach, that a big one of my goals right now is more on strength than size, right? But I certainly don't want to put any of the cardio on the wayside. So like, how do you mix those together to be effective without sacrificing muscle gains, but also without losing traction and maybe where I am today with VO2 max?
That's a very good question. And I always rely on Ben for this. Earlier in my career, I remember hearing Ben talking about this in his bodybuilding days, talking about his cardiovascular system was so efficient that he could train harder than anyone else in the gym to put on muscle. So because he put so much emphasis on developing his cardio, he could do more volume. He'd recover faster from it. So I remember one time reading, I think it was Muscle and Fitness, and it was the Pekulski arm workout. And it was like two workouts of the same muscle group, like within a week. And I was like, how do you train the same muscle group twice? And that was like, blew my mind. And then reading a little bit more and then seeing Ben do some of his videos, like, oh shit, this guy can recover faster than other people because he's got a high VO2 max. So he was able to actually put on a little bit more muscle. Now with you and your specific goals, we have some aesthetics goals. We got some strength goals at the same time. You're also a very busy father, a very busy businessman. So when I see your weekly progress photos and I see you're getting leaner, like you've been, your abs are coming through a little bit more. So we know that the diet's working well. And we also see that your numbers are going up in your strength. As of right now, having a higher VO2 max would only be beneficial if I wanted to give you more volume. I would only be giving you more volume if we plateaued in your goals and if you had more time. So right now we're maximizing the time we have with you and we're not seeing any negatives. So as of right now for you specifically, Bill, I don't think there's a necessary need to push cardiovascular training with your current goals. Does that make sense?
Perfect. Yep. Gentlemen, that's why we hired professionals.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you came to me and was like, hey, I got out of breath going to the top of the stairs the other day, I'd be like, hold on a sec. Yeah, that's timeout where I come from. We'd have to address that. But something like that has not come up. So right now we're doing well.
Perfect. Thanks.
Question here. Is there a direct correlation between higher VO2 max and CO2 tolerance? Will have a higher CO2 tolerance help you with your VO2 max? This I can't say I definitively know the answer to this. My assumption would be yes, because the higher the CO2 tolerance, kind of the more discomfort you can take at the same time, and your output can be higher. So I would assume yes. Ben, are you still on the call? Would you like to chime in on this one? Or other coaches?
It'll help you on the rower test, that's for sure.
Yeah, so your ability to tolerate more discomfort, that's correlated with a high CO2 tolerance, right? So that burn fatigue sensation that your body has, it doesn't have you gasping. So as a runner, Eric, you're a runner, right? When you're doing your run, you always feel pretty good the longer you can go without opening your mouth, right?
I'm not the best person to ask. I had to have a septoplasty because I couldn't breathe through my nose for a really long time. Now the answer is yes, but for many, many years, I had to run with my mouth open and it sucked.
Yeah. So imagine that, you know, anyone here on the call right now, we're going to go and we're going to do a 5K and, you know, 200 meters into it, you got to mouth breathe. You're at this point already. Okay. You got a lot, you're going to have 4.8 kilometers still to go. So it's not going to be comfortable. But if you can hit 2 kilometers and you're still nasal breathing and your heart rate's relatively not jacked up, okay, you still got a lot more that you can push. So a fun fact, I used to run track. I used to compete in cross country. One of my go-tos was when I'd pass anyone, I would purposely pretend I wasn't struggling. So my breath cadence would be like a... And then when I'd be passing someone, I would almost hold my breath and slow down. So I'd go past them. They'd be like, oh man, this guy is not even tired. And then once I got a little bit ahead of them, I would start breathing like I was dying. But that I felt like that gave me a little bit of a mental edge over someone. But at the same point, the more fit I was, the further I could deter breathing that heavy and that aggressive. Yeah, the breath hold. Just suck it up and then pass someone, Andrew. Yeah, that's good. So that would be my assumption there. Ben is more of our expert on that one there. So maybe the next time he's on the call, he can chime in on that. I'll open up the floor to a few more questions anyone has regarding cardio before we bring this presentation to an end.
that every minute on the minute stuff you've been sending me the last couple of weeks, I really like it. And that's good. I just, as long as I could sustain it for longer to get more of like 20 minutes, you know, more, you know, right now we've been doing 15, but I'm ready to move up on that. But yeah.
Yeah. At any point you roll out of bed and you say, you know what, that wasn't that challenging anymore. Your body's hit a point where it's like, hey, I'm fit enough to handle this. If I want to get better, I need more. It's either more intensity. So you either increase resistance, you go harder, or you just increase the duration total. That's how you develop your cardio system. Here's the good news. Here's the good news for anyone who's like, my cardio shit right now. Here's the good news. You don't have to do that much. If your cardio is quite poor right now, doing a little bit more than what you're already doing will increase your cardio. If you find walking at a fast pace gets you out of breath, guess what? You just have to walk at a medium pace because you probably walk at a slow pace. You just got to do a little bit more than what you're already doing, and that will challenge your body, and your body will adapt by having a stronger heart, stronger lungs, stronger delivery system, develop more mitochondria. It's going to give you more energy, and you're going to be a more efficient version of yourself. So gentlemen, this is 6:59 here. I appreciate you taking the time to come in as well. Thumbs up here if anybody learned at least one thing today, at least one thing today. My goal was just to give you all one thing. Now, I suggest you all talk to your coaches and see if you want to get a test, figure out what your VO2 max is, put it in the program, and then have a training protocol probably set up, and you could retest it down the road. I'd be really interested if we did a follow-up on this, maybe in the Telegram somewhere, to see where people's cardiovascular system is. Does that sound good? Unless you're bulking, stay away. No, just kidding, just kidding. Okay, thank you, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your evening. I appreciate you all.
Thank you, Chris.